In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The text for our second sermon in our series on our worship space and its use as a focus and reflection of both our Christian faith and our Lutheran confession is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And there we read in the 10th chapter, the 16th and 17th verses. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The Holy Spirit reminds us in all of our lessons this morning of His divine call into the holy ministry. We also refer to that ministry as public or representative. And we find out why in our readings. In our first lesson, we heard how the Lord called Amos from being a shepherd to be a prophet representing the Lord to Israel. In our second lesson, the Apostle Paul reminded the pastor in Ephesus, young Timothy, of the qualifications necessary for those who would be leaders in the church, who would represent the church before the world. And in our gospel lesson, we read of Jesus calling the 12 to Him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Usually, hanging on the wall in the church office and study across from my desk where I can see it every day is this call that Bethlehem extended to me on July 3rd, 1997. It's a form that is used by most of our congregations when they call a pastor. Included in that call is the charge that you will preach the gospel of the Lord in all of its truth and purity to us. And then the very next sentence has this additional charge to administer the sacraments in accordance with the inspired Word of God and the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. On this second Sunday in our sermon series, we'll be taking a look at our worship space and its usage with one of those sacraments, the Lord's Supper. We also know it as Holy Communion, as the Eucharist, or as we'll refer to it most often today, the sacrament of the altar. And we'll see on the basis of Paul's word that we are participants through the sacrament of the altar in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We see, first of all, that we participate in Christ's sacrifice through cup and bread. And secondly, that we receive Christ's sacrifice together as one body. Front and center of our worship space is our altar. In our case, it's a freestanding altar. In many congregations, you'll see the altar back against the rear wall of this front area called the chancel. This altar is a vivid reminder to us weekly of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made as our high priest on His altar of the cross. We have our eyes focused on the altar virtually every second of our worship service. He is also the perfect sacrifice, isn't he? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We'll say this morning that through this altar, we are spectators at Jesus' cross as he offered his sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the world. Through the sacrament of the altar, we are much more than mere spectators. Through the sacrament of the altar, we are actually participants in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We call it the sacrament of the altar not because we put the elements on the altar, but because Jesus offered his blood as the blood of the new covenant on the altar of the cross. We call it the sacrament of the altar because on the altar of the cross, Jesus offered up his very life and his body for us. And we teach and believe on the basis of Scripture that we participate in that sacrifice as we receive the cup and the bread. St. Paul refers to the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks. In Greek, the verb to give thanks here is eucharisto, from which we get our English word Eucharist. And the bread, of course, is that bread of blessing through Christ. When Jesus instituted the sacrament of the altar on Maundy Thursday, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." And then he gave it to the disciples to eat and to drink as he gives it to us weekly in our service. We are not mere spectators of what Jesus did on the cross. Through the sacrament of the altar, as we give and receive the body and blood of Christ in the real presence with the bread and wine, we actually participate in that sacrifice. We're in fellowship with it. We receive it in a real way, and it gives us its blessings: the forgiveness of sins, new spiritual life, eternal salvation in heaven. We spoke last week about the Word of God being the center of everything we do in worship. Well, in communion, we combine the gospel of Christ with these visible elements so that we can participate in, have fellowship in, the very sacrifice Christ made and its blessings. In Greek, when Paul asks these two questions, he asks them with a verb form that expects a yes answer. So Paul wrote, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation, a fellowship, a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread we eat a participation in the body of Christ?" And we, in our Christian faith and in our Lutheran confession, answer Paul's questions with an amen to that. Yes, that's exactly what we believe. And so again, like some of our fellow Christians, we don't believe that in the Lord's Supper you're simply a distant spectator of what Jesus did on the cross. You remember it, you think about it, you thank God for it, but you don't really get anything out of it. Nor do we believe, as some of our fellow Christians believe and teach, that we, every week when we take communion, that we actually re-sacrifice Christ on the cross. And by doing that, we earn and merit the forgiveness of our sins. No. As participants through the sacrament of the altar, we share and receive Christ's sacrifice that He made on the cross. The writer to the Hebrews says of Christ's sacrifice, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." The gospel, which connects us, gives us a share in Christ's sacrifice, is what we receive in the Lord's Supper as the forgiveness of our breaking the commandments under the law. So the new covenant of Christ's blood takes away the guilt and punishment of our transgressions of the old covenant. And when we take communion, when we receive the sacrament of the altar, we are actually participants in that sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. When we are participants in the sacrament or through the sacrament of the altar in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we always do that in fellowship with one another as members of the spiritual body of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. We are united with all our fellow believers in Christ by our belief in the triune God and our belief that Jesus is our Savior from sin. In another way, we unite with fellow believers who not only are one with us in that saving faith, but are one with us on the basis of a public confession, which is usually codified in the public statements of faith of a church body. And in that second visible church, where there is complete unity of teaching, including the Lord's Supper, then we are united together to take Lord's Supper as an expression of our faith. Where there may be complete unity except the teaching of the Lord's Supper, or where there is teaching of unity on the Lord's Supper, but there is a difference in teaching of other things, then the unity does not exist for us to join together publicly in receiving the Lord's Supper. Each of us, we might say, and I don't mean this in a humorous way, each of us is a slice of the one loaf. All the slices of bread in a loaf are the same. In the invisible church, we're all slices of one loaf of all believers in Jesus Christ. In the visible church, we are all slices of a loaf that makes a common confession, a public confession of what we believe. And whenever we participate in the sacrament of the altar, whether we're alone or with others, we're always still a member of that loaf. And that's why even when I take private communion, I'm still a member of the larger confession to which I belong. And that's why when people say to me, "Pastor, why can't I take communion in another Lutheran church that we're not in fellowship? Or how come I can't take communion in my parents' Methodist church? Or how come I can't go to my neighbor's Catholic church and take communion?" I know what communion is. I understand what communion is, even if they don't. And I'm only communing just for me. Well, that's why you can't. because you're still a member of the larger loaf. You still belong to a church body that makes that public confession. As we think about the sacrament of the altar, as we think about this altar, we're reminded that you called me to not only watch over this visible altar, but to be sure that the Word of God and the sacraments are administered according to the Word of God and the confessions of the Orthodox Evangelical Lutheran Church. And implied in your call is not only that I watch over it, but that you want me to watch over it. That you are watching over it through me, your called servant, your public representative. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we may have to say to a fellow Lutheran of a synod that we're not in fellowship with, we're sorry we can't commune together because our churches don't believe and teach the same thing. Or we may have to say to a fellow Christian who is a non-Lutheran, who has not been taught the truth of the Lord's Supper, and therefore would be sinning against the body and blood of Christ by taking communion, no, we're not going to invite you to receive the Lord's Supper with us. Now, I realize there is the fear that that can be off-putting. But I will say, in all honesty, in my more than a few years in public ministry, I have found much more often than not that people respect our communion practice, and that it does not become a problem, it does not become a major issue with them when you tell them that this is the way we do it, and we would ask that you respect that. Participating together through the sacrament of the altar, participating in Christ's sacrifice, is one of the public ways that you and I acknowledge our unity, not only as Christians, but as Orthodox Lutherans. When we take the Lord's Supper together, we are acting as that one loaf of a visible church in the unity of confession. So we recognize again, don't we, that participating through the sacrament of the altar in Christ's sacrifice on the altar of the cross is a great and wonderful gift, a sacrament, a sacred act that Christ has given to us, so that we share in that salvation that He won for us. And we participate in that through the cup and the bread. And we participate in that together as one body. Amen.